is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHX Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Conan in studio. We'll have a report from Tyler Donaldson as well. There is a weather system bringing rain and thunderstorms to a large swath of the northern plains and Midwest at this hour. The system extends from Alberta and Saskatchewan all the way down to Illinois and Missouri. Portions of North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota are among those states receiving rain. Rainfall amounts over the past 24 hours include 1.16 inches at Brockett in northeast North Dakota, Rugby 74 hundredths, Jamestown 45 hundredths, 4/10 of an inch at Elba Lake, Minnesota, Warren 22 hundredths, Langdon 16 hundredths, Fargo just 11 hundredths of an inch. The National Weather Service says the chance for rain will diminish through this week with a gradual warm-up.
Nationwide, corn planting has been taking place at a rapid pace this spring. However,
for the first time this year, U.S. corn planting has fallen behind the average pace.
According to USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey, last week's wet weather shut down field work in much of the Midwest. Nationally, 36% of the corn is planted. That's down from last year's 42%.
Soybeans, we actually saw some progress, not spectacular progress in soybean planting, but producers did manage to plant 7% during the week to reach one quarter of the crop planted by May 5th. That 25% planted is ahead of the five-year average of 21%, but now behind last year's 30%. But things are falling apart a little bit as you move to the Western Corn Belt, where it's been especially stormy.
AgroDeKalb technical agronomist Derek Pruitt advises farmers to not be in a hurry.
That rain was good. It was a little bit more than we expected, and it was a little cool, but you know, if we can just get some sun and a dry field out a little bit and get it out and get going, I think we'll be in a pretty good spot. That rain, you know, we could have used a little bit of rain. So I don't think that's going to be a bad thing. If we can just get some sun now and get out and get going, I think we'll be in a pretty good spot.
Pruitt's timeliness to plant is very good.
And compared to the past 2 years, we're still a little bit early. So, you know, I mean, yeah, it's nice to get stuff in early and just get it taken care of. I get that. I like that too. But yeah, no, we're still in a good spot. It's really not bad at all.
Sure.
Things are warming up and, you know, timing's good right now. If we can just get some sun and some heat, I think we're going to be really pretty good.
Rains have stopped in Rio Grande do Sul, but another round is in the forecast late next week. World Weather Incorporated senior meteorologist Drew Lerner says rainfall totals vary from 12 to 25 inches over a 10-day period. It's going to take months to recover from the flooding, and the impact on agriculture in southern Brazil may not be known for a while.
The collaboration agreement between Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Farm Credit Services of America, and Frontier Farm Credit has been in place now for nearly a month. This is the largest collaboration of its kind in the farm credit system. Mark Nisley, who is the Executive Vice President of Ag Country Business Development, said this collaboration protects the local brand presence.
And it's really an opportunity to, again, to keep these local associations more local, let them leverage the scale of working together with others more closely, and maybe slow down the merger trends that we've seen across a lot of agriculture, Don, as you know, over the course of the last decade. Finding ways to do things contractually as opposed to merging together and continuing that consolidation, I think, will have some appeal in agriculture and for sure across the co-op market.
In an interview with the Red River Farm Network, Nisley said this was a board-driven decision. The three entities will share leadership, planning, and technology, while local boards, offices, and programs will be maintained.
When you think about the depth and the scale that a collaboration model brings and the level of experience and being able to, again, to continue to leverage the expertise that each of these associations had in place locally as well, we view it as being added benefit. It's not really not a takeaway necessarily. It's more the added value that the broader leadership team can bring and the depth of knowledge and experience that you can bring under a collaboration.
The full interview with Mark Nisley is available on the Red River Farm Network website, rrfn.com. www.farmnetworkfeed.com. Of course, at that same website, you can get the latest news and weather updates, all the audio information there as well, your latest podcast on the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The Minnesota Senate passed the Agriculture, Commerce, Energy, Environment, and Climate Supplemental Budget on a vote of 36-30 yesterday. Republican lead for the Agriculture Committee, Senator Tory Westrum, said he likes the agriculture segment of that bill.
But it put together with two other much more controversial bills. And so, Mr. President, I wish we could be voting on this subject matter alone in this bill, because I think you'd see a vastly different result in the vote. So I just put that marker in the ground, Mr. President and members. Anything we can do to break this part off, I think it would minimize the work for the agriculture chair and those of us on the committee working on any conference changes or negotiations, because I think we've got a good bill that could pass the Senate with flying colors.
The ag section of the bill includes a significant investment to address the water quality issues in the karst region of southeastern Minnesota. There's special language to deal with high path avian influenza and funding for the Agri Grant programs.
The various farm bill proposals call for enhancements to crop insurance, adjustments to reference prices, and an increase in trade promotion funding. Minnesota Congressman Brad Finstead said it would be great to do all of those things, but it would cost billions of dollars. In his words, there needs to be an adult in the room when the farm bill is written.
Because I think at the end of the day, most farmers would tell you that we don't want to farm to the lowest value in case, you know, the wheels come off. Help us protect our risk. Give us tools like crop insurance that really allows us to go into the banker and have a great conversation from operating note all the way to marketing plans based on that insurance product versus, yeah, if things go sideways, we hope an ARC, or I hope I picked right with ARC or PLC, and I hope that reference price is going to cover my note at the bank. And right now, the reality is with our inputs, it doesn't. And so I think if we were to put all of that in a big bucket and say, where can we really target and prioritize money if we find new money, it's got to be strengthening crop insurance.
USDA's May supply and demand report will be released Friday. Ag Resource Company President Dan Bossi is not expecting it to be a big market mover.
Our thought process was that market highs come in early this week, whether it's today or tomorrow, and then we'll kind of slough off as we get closer to the USDA. It's always hard to measure how much liquidation is left to come, but maybe a market that's higher tomorrow would provide a selling opportunity, at least in the cash market, for a lot of farmers.
And much of the market action has been counterintuitive.
So there's some funds that I have where they're actually looking at the carry in the market, and they're just going to roll from the next month to the next month, and there's enough carry that they feel comfortable still staying short. So not everybody is bailing ship. Some of them are still hanging in there, though I do think there's some new inflows, if you will, from the index fund crowd, and so that's been helpful at least late last week and early this week.
According to the latest issue of the NDSU Extension By the Numbers newsletter, the expansion of U.S. soybean crushing capacity is prompting concerns about the demand for soybean meal, both domestically and internationally. While demand for soy oil from the biofuel sector is expected to match the increased crush capacity, the surplus soy meal may require expanded export sales, with potential competition coming from countries like Argentina and Brazil. Rising demand for soy meal in developing economies like Indonesia, Vietnam, and others could influence the global price, affecting the role of U.S. exports in the soy meal trade.
The North Dakota Department of Water Resources has started its annual discharge operations on the Devil's Lake West End outlet at 200 cubic square feet per second. The East End outlet could start running as soon as next week. At full capacity, the Devil's Lake outlets can discharge 600 square feet per second combined. The total is to remove as much flood water as possible from Devil's Lake.
Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack is pointing to Congress about the concern of USDA dropping key NASH reports, including July's cattle inventory report. He says it's their inability to pass a budget.
In the NASH budget itself, it wasn't they actually got a flatline budget, they actually got a cut. So the overall budget for USDA, then in NASH, there was a cut, a significant reduction. There's not much option, you don't have much option. So it would be helpful, you know, for Congress to pass the budget on time.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. U.S. wheat industry has faced recent headwinds on the global market. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
While the war between Russia and Ukraine has disrupted much of the global agricultural market, Foreign Agriculture Service Administrator Daniel Whitley points to the upheaval not just in supply and demand for wheat, but the infrastructure for both market intelligence and knowledge.
The geopolitical events, the war in Ukraine, caused significant disruptions, not just in terms of the supply and demand factors of the wheat market, but also our knowledge base. You know, we had an office. And we had two offices in Russia. We had an office in Ukraine. We have a presence, somewhat of a presence back in Ukraine now, but we don't have anything in Russia. So we're not able to get a good idea of what's happening.
Whitley says that market information coming out of Russia is dubious and difficult to confirm.
There's not a lot of trust in the data they report on the PS&D, production, supply, and distribution. There's not a lot of trust in what they tell us, what's happening at the ports. So we don't have a really good gauge. What we do know is that some of the markets that relied on bulk commodities in the Middle East, in North Africa, and other parts of Sub-Saharan Africa suffered and continue to suffer from bulk wheat imports from the Black Sea region. Now, we've been able to make up some of those shortfalls, so I think some of our producers, soft white, have done okay. The fact we don't have all of the information, all the supply and demand information from a very, very key growing region makes things a bit difficult to understand exactly what's happening with the volatility.
That was U.S. Foreign Agriculture Service Administrator Daniel Whitley. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
The Minnesota AgriGrowth Council has named its new executive director. Darren Broughton is a senior advisor to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency commissioner. Previously, Broughton led public affairs at Thunheim Consulting Firm. Broughton's start date is June 10th. AgriGrowth's current executive director, Tamara Nelson, is retiring. In markets, we're down 9.5 for Minneapolis wheat for that July contract. 716 is the quote. The July Chicago wheat down 8 cents. Hard red winter wheat, July down 15.5. The corn market, July 1.5 lower, 467.5. New crop down 1.75. Soybeans for July, 5.25 lower at 1243.5. And new crop soybeans, as we speak, down by 4 cents. As we check in on the farm calendar, NDSU Extension has its annual farm safety camps on the schedule. May 21st and 23rd, or through the 23rd at Minot, May 29th through the 31st in Devil's Lake, and June 25th through the 27th in Bismarck. It's a 3-day, 2-night camps covering all the farm safety basics, from handling tractors to general farm hazards. Have yourself a great Tuesday. This is the Red River Farm Network.